Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, Alafia, and welcome to another day in the Kirtari Room. You have your Omika 7 here, your emperor, and your advisor, the one you need. And thanks for joining us this evening. To all my old friends, I say, what's up, Habari Gani? And to those new friends, welcome into the room. We're glad you came to join us on another segment of Kirtari. This evening's segment is also going to be on the continuation for this month. reordering the marriage vows for the 21st century for the African American. And ladies and gentlemen, as you know, we have been talking about what we can do to create that village effect in the community for African Americans, what we can do to reconnect them back to a wholesome relationship with women and men. And we talked a little bit about going into the prison system to see if it would be possible to reconnect the women to the men. I hope everyone was able to hear the segment yesterday. I was quite adamant about what I felt that the churches should be doing and reinstituting the Institute of Marriage. I feel that our whole marriage institute is under attack. And when you don't have couples that are actually married in holy matrimony, what it does is affects their status economically. Women who have to file heads of household without a spouse have lost a large percent of their deductions, and they are losing actually the amount of money that they could even claim. So it is an economic problem, and it is a war that's been staged and waged against the African-American families. And some of us don't even know we're in a war, and that if all we need to do is try to stay together longer, keeping our finances intact and keeping our economic status together. But once we can buy into the fact that we can be heads of household single, we don't realize the devastating blow that it is doing to our economic status. That is why I brought up the concept of going into the prisons, just like the Jews used to do, remarrying their women back to those prisoners, so that when those men had substance of their Social Security or their benefits, they had assets that they could leave to someone. And they could also make those women legit, giving them some nobility, making them noble, and having a covering over their head. So if you think about those things, you'll see what I'm saying. It's all economic driven. And that's where we should be at these days. We ought to come out of the partying and the stomping and dancing and having a good time and start getting serious about our filthy lucre so that we can put our households back in order and our community. And I was very serious and adamant about what I said yesterday, and I meant every word of it, because I'm speaking to those heads of the universities, the institution, and especially heads of the churches, because we are not doing what we're supposed to do in these churches when it comes to offering a service for our men in prison. When the bulk of them are in prison, we have an obligation to take care of the widows and the prisoners, and that means to go in to have visitation, allow them to have visitation with their wives and children, and encourage courtship and marriage, and not to encourage them to be left alone, disconnected. It is up to the church to take care of those people, and I'm holding them responsible for it. And once again, you've got your Omi here, and I was on a soapbox after yesterday, and I'm not going to try to go there today with you. If you want to, go back and listen to that tape on demand, and you'll see exactly what I was saying, what I was talking about, ladies and gentlemen, and I mean every word of it, because we are getting people off the hook who should be doing things. We always look to the man and say, well, I can't make it because of the man. We got to look to our own organizations and our own institutes that's supposed to be set up to assist us in our community. We ought to definitely look towards that. Ladies and gentlemen, just changing gears a little bit here, I want to come down off of that high and talk to you a little bit about the fact that this is Women History Month. And for those women out there who knows on me, you know that I'm always into History Month for women, because I usually speak throughout the month in different places. However, what I'd like to point your direction to, I haven't spoken a lot about it, but I want to say that because my agency, Project 2019, non-for-profit status agency, is geared for the STEMS program, and that is the science, technology, engineering, and for the area where they can actually the STEM program is the science, technology, and math and engineering. So we are really an institution that focuses in on making sure that minorities, and we've recently changed our mission to focus in on the girls, the young girls and women who are interested in STEMs and science, math, and engineering program, to get them ready to get them prepared in pre-college programs, to get them connected to programs that are out there. And that's why we originally came about for science. With my background being in science, I was very heavily interested in getting women involved. However, the last couple of years I've been working with young men, getting them ready to go over to the university to go and enroll in the summer programs for engineering. This year we're focusing more on working with the Girl Scouts. That's where we're going to focus heavily, working with the girls and getting them into these programs, because there are lots and lots of money being placed into NASA and also from the White House and from the NASA organization to work with women and girls involved in math, science, engineering, technology. And that is definitely where we're going to be focusing. So I'd like to say something to that effect today, and I'm going to deviate a little bit from our topic to let you know, for Women's History Month, it's important that women engage in various different seminars, symposiums, and workshops. I myself started out in the area of engineering graphics, so having a graphic background would make me very interested in the technology area and interested in the engineering primarily. I've had a chance to work in engineering as a scheduler planner, which what that means is you assist the engineers in preparing them for projects, and you handle all of their required men for hiring, job placement, as well as for their salaries and their time cards. So in that area, I got a chance to work with B-1 bombers and have exclusive clearance to go into the marketing department to see how they were building this and structuring it all the way from the graphic design to laying the blueprints to laying it out. Now, I don't want to perturb you in that area, but I will say that I had a desire and a need to find other young women who were interested in going into the STEMS program. When I worked in the private industry, I thought this would be a great way to get some of our young women back in this area. And what I want to say for the Women's Month this month is that there is a lot of technology jobs that are going unfilled, and there is a big need to place females in those positions. However, the men that apply for school do not necessarily have to have the highest scores as the girls do, because right now there is a shortage of girls in the STEMS program. And I want to caution all of you teachers to get behind your students that are female and encourage them that they can do well in the science area, and tell them that there are openings and opportunities for them, and do encourage them in that area. And this is primarily what I want to say on the highlight of the History Month for Women, and that it's very important that we stay in tune with that. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to say to the listening audience that we are a consumer education program, and we do focus in on closing the gap of disparity. So we're closing the gap of disparity of women who are trying to enter into technology fields and getting them into the pre-college programs so that they will be closing the gaps of the numbers of the deficiency. Now, if there's any one of you that would like to call in on behalf of Women History Month to talk about it, to say anything on that note, then I definitely encourage you to do so. And I'd also encourage you to be a part of going to our website. Some of you have not been to our Northern Indiana Project 2019's website. There you'll see about our mission statement, a little bit about what our intentions is. That website, however, it did have a radio station called Always Sisters, Always Friends. We are going to be bringing that back this summer, so we will be able to zone in on that to talk to women who are interested in going into the science and to the STEMS program. There's tons of NASA programs out there for young girls to get involved in, even with the Girl Scout. So all of you women out there, get behind the girls and let them know that they can major in a science area, and there is funding to help them. And on that note, I like to say thank you so much for letting me interrupt your day to talk about Women's History Month. And for those women who are lecturers and who do speak at engagements, please do come into the Care to Read room before the month is out, and we'll interrupt our segment to bring you on to talk about anything that you're bringing for the women. And as the women know, I'm very supportive of whatever projects they're doing. And if you ask me at any time if I could do something to assist you during the rest of this month, please do call on me, because I'm very, very interested in what happens to us as women and what we have available to us so that we can matriculate in the workforce. And not with the nickel and dime jobs. You know I'm about the filthy lucre, so I'm talking about the high technology jobs. That's right. You got it. I'm talking about the high technology jobs that pertain to engineering, science, and math. So for you women out there who are contemplating going back into the science, I have a minor in biology, and biology is my first love. It should have been my first major. So I do believe that you have an opportunity, ladies and gentlemen, to be a part of something great if you would get behind your girls and talk to them about the sciences. I think that you will find that it would be a great opportunity. And ladies and gentlemen, now we're going to get right into our subject here, and we're going to go right into our subject matter. And our subject matter today, we're going to stem a little bit. I'm trying to think here. We wanted to stem a little bit to talk about what we were going to do about the specialists in the area. I didn't hear from anyone. No one called in to talk about their specialty and their various different gifts in the area of human services, therapy, marriage therapy, sex therapy. I was hoping to get some people to call in to give me their input on the subject. Now, because there weren't anyone to call in, I'm going to speak to you because of the women's History Month. I'm going to speak to you a little bit about my profession as a family life educator. I do want you to know that there is a field that is very rarely talked about in the area of family life educator, which means that women have the right to go in and take positions to service churches in the area of working with families, marriage institution, as well as issues pertaining to the human rights of a person. Now, in the family life sector, you literally can conduct various different group sessions, work as a therapist would work, but you educate. You don't necessarily produce any therapeutic programs to carry out, but mainly educate. And in this area, it allows you to work with hospital families who are exiting out of the hospital with their children, those parents who might have challenged needs for their children as well. So a family life educator is involved in the life aspect of the family. It is in the science area, so it's in an area where it covers home economic nutrition as well. Now, if you go out on the website, I did put a note out there on my ING website, noting to the public that we are going to have our website open. You primarily want to go to our website, ladies and gentlemen, that we have open under the Montu Enterprise.web.weebly.com. That is the one we have open now. We are having a little technical difficulty with the other one. And on that website, you can see the Oyatunja tribe there. Now, when you go out there, hopefully by the time you get out there before the 26th, we're going to have a series of weddings from Africa, Nigeria, Yoruba tribe, in addition to other tribes. And there will be some of the tribal weddings and some African-American weddings that are doing tribal weddings. I want you to take a look at all of the proceedings in the wedding. I want you to also notice that there is various different customs and traditions that they adhere to, with the killing of the goat and the costume wear of the young lady, and also the money that is being placed on the bride and the groom. You will see all of these things on that website. And what I want you to know most of all, ladies and gentlemen, when you go to that website, please take a look at some of the customs. Now, remember I told you there was going to be a little contest, and I'm going to be looking for the one that knows what Emperor Omi wants. I have been giving out some buzzwords, so let me take my time to give you a little review today. We're changing up things a little bit because I want you to be ready. And as you know, one of the words I talk heavily about is Stilty Luca, Iwapelu, Easy on the Eyes, Lay Eyeballs on You. I also like to talk about words that you can use in the area of Oladulamare, which is the god of the black race, Oromola, which is the African prophet of the black Yoruba tribe. Those are some of the terms that you might be able to throw out there. And a young man might want to come into the session, and I might ask, do you know what Empress Omi wants? Here's some things that I would be looking for in a relationship. I would be looking for a wholesome person who is well-rounded and not stuck on frozen viewpoints. Even if you just remember the word not be stuck on frozen viewpoints, meaning open for change, open for new things, open for possibilities. I'd like to see a young man that is interested in life and is very spiritual, centered in himself and knows himself, and spend time communing with the ancestors himself, as well as praying to the Godhead, and is very in touch with his spiritual self. Someone that is understanding that there is time that we must be separated and have our own time to fellowship and do praises and worshiping. Somebody that is very cognizant of the community around them, and when there's trouble, to make his brother's issues his own and to step out and help in the community. And someone who's not afraid of being able to speak up against injustice. Someone who's a maverick for the underdog. Somebody who truly understands that I am my brother's keeper. Somebody who would oftentimes do things that he didn't have to ordinarily do to help somebody who was not capable of helping themselves in their slow process of growth. Maybe to assist them in financial giving, maybe to assist them in helping in a community, being a part of organizations, not into his own, but being a communal person, being a person that is always working with his hands, that is capable of doing hard work, who is a hard worker, has good ethical work ethics, someone who is kind, slow to anger, someone who is patient, someone who is easy on the eyes, someone who likes to laugh, who is fond of joking, who loves to be around people, someone who loves to acknowledge elders and give them their prompts and listens to the elders, someone who is loving, someone who is adventuresome, someone who likes to take long walks in the afternoon, someone who likes to take go out and go for a picnic, someone who likes to go swimming, roller skating, ice skating, someone who is has curiosity enough to adventure to the unknown, to learn about languages and countries, and is not afraid of travel, someone who has the fortitude to be a real man and stand up against injustice when others won't speak up, someone who's not a coward, someone who is gentle and kind and doesn't mind crying in front of a woman, who can be sensitive, someone who doesn't come burdened down with a heavy load of problems, someone who's not a complainer, someone who can see the good in all people, someone who can begin to speak words of wisdom to encourage others and myself. I'm looking for a loving man. I'm looking for a man that is ready to take an adventure. Omi's ready for another adventure, ladies and gentlemen. And this is not an adventure I want to take during this second journey on my own. So I ask you to get ready to go into the room and put that information in there and hold on to it, because when January 26th comes, I'm going to select the two winners that knows what Empress Omi wants. And I know that you might be one of them. And watch out, because some of the things I'm saying today, you can go back on demand and you can listen to, and you can tell Empress Omi what it is she wants in a man. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to thank you for this opportunity this evening for me deviating from program. But may you have a great evening. And to all of you, I say, have a great evening. And I say, oh, double.
Like a